Yeah, it doesn't fall off.
Okay, nice to see you all today. So we left off discussing the malacha of, who remembers? Choresh. Plowing, or in any way preparing the ground for planting, or in any way improving the ground in an area which is fit for planting, including smoothening out the ground, or in any way improving the quality of the ground. In fact, just yesterday was Shabbos. I was outside in our yard with my 3-year-old son, and we're on the grass, and he saw some weeds growing in the grass. That happens, so he went to yank them out. So there you have it. That would have been a problem of Zoreya. Choresh. Because you take out the weeds, it makes the area better fit for growing things. So let's look at one of the Derabbanan applications of this malacha. So turn to Shin Lamed Ches, the end of Chelek Gimel here. Shin Lamed Ches, Sifhei. If you don't care about it, so then it's a secretion of the law.
I'm saying, like,
awful
or nice,
or is it? Still awesome, yeah. Shin Lamed Ches. Sif Hei. All right, you all have it? Av. Shin Lamed Ches. Sif Hei. Okay, so you're not allowed to play with nuts or apples or anything like that because of the problem of filling in holes and smoothening out the ground, says the Rama. That's only if you're playing along the floor. But if you're playing on the table, that's fine, because there's no problem of smoothing out the ground. So this is obviously talking about games that would involve rolling things across the floor,
like marbles
and the like. Okay, so to play marbles on the ground would be considered a problem. May come to smoothing out the ground. It'd be a problem of choresh, if it was outside, or bone if it was inside. So the poskim write bizman hazeh, similar to what we saw about sweeping the floor. If you're playing inside, in a place where most of the houses have floors that are not dirt floors, that's our situation, bizman hazeh, so then that would be permitted and people can go ahead and play marbles, whatever else they like. However, this would still apply in a couple of ways. So first of all, to play outside, on the ground, on dirt floor, on dirt area, in the backyard, or whatever the case may be, to play some game like this. And there are some people who still do these kind of things, and they have nut rolling, whatever the case may be. That would be a problem in the Rabbanon, because it may come to smoothen out the area.
Soccer.
Oh, so soccer. So this is the major nafkamina bizman hazeh. In fact, if you flip back, I know we're doing a lot of flipping. Flip back to Shin Ches, just to show you an even more direct, sort of hit the nail on the head. So Shin Ches, in Mishnah Berurah, Sifkan Kuf Nun Ches. So that's in Sif Memhei. Okay, so Shin Ches, Sif Mem He. Yeah.
Shin Ches?
Mem He. Okay, so we once discussed this, the truth is. We saw it already, but I'm going to zero in on something over here, which I don't think we discussed. So Josh, read for us.
The Mishnah Berurah.
Shulchan Aruch. Start with the Shulchan Aruch.
Aser Lischog V'Shavah V'Yom Tov V'Kadur.
Says the Rama. Okay, so the Mechaber says you're not allowed to play with a ball on Shabbos or Yontiv, and the Rama says that Nagu Lahakel, to be lenient. Oh, we discussed already ball playing on Shabbos. Look in the Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Kuf Nun Ches, halfway through. So he says, V'chol Zeh. You see where that is? V'chol Zeh Kishes Socheik Shelo Al Gabi Karka. So, go ahead, Josh.
V'chol Zeh Kishes Socheik Shelo Al Gabi Karka V'al Gabi Karka L'chol Yeh Alma Asur Mishum Chashash Ashruye Gimur V'kidil Al Kaman V'siman Shemam Chay L'inyan Tzchikat Ha'ilatim
Says the Mishnah Berurah, the whole discussion about ball playing, that doesn't apply. That only applies when you're not playing by rolling things along the ground. If you're playing by rolling things along the ground, that's what we saw in Shin Lamed Ches. That's a separate independent issue of the Rabbanan, due to a concern that you're going to go ahead and smoothen out the ground, which would be a malacha of Choresh. So he says, but when it comes to Noshim Ketanim, so you don't have to tell them not to if they're not going to listen, because of a concept of Mutav Sheyu Shogin Vayu Mezizin. If they're not going to listen anyway, better they should do it B'Shogeg without knowing that it's Aser, rather than doing it B'Mezid knowing that it's Aser.
So you have to know the person well in order to be able to.
You have to read the situation. So B'Zman Hazeh, especially in Israel, this is something which is a major, major, I think.
But most soccer is on cement anyway.
Okay, so first of all, kids, Bizman Hazeh in Israel, play soccer all afternoon long on Shabbos afternoon. So they, if you look around here in the neighborhood, it's you can see different things. In the driveway in my building, they constantly play soccer. So you can tell, okay, but it's not shaykh to even smoothen out, because it's paved. It's whatever. It's brick. It's brick there. Okay, but it's outside, and not every area outside where you play soccer is paved. All right, but you can kind of, similar to what we saw about sweeping the floor, it's connected to the building, and it's paved, and lots of, you know, all the drivers are paved. All right, maybe. But if you go to the park right here on the corner, they also play soccer in the park all Shabbos afternoon on the grass. So, l'chora, that would be a problem. Shmir Shabbos Kuchasa says that that it's usher. I personally don't let my kids play soccer on Shabbos, which sometimes has gotten them into difficult situations with their friends, but they go by it. Maybe you could tie it as a limud schus for those who do play. So is it maybe we can try to be malamed schus, that the whole concern is they're going to flatten out the ground. Lemaisa, you know, maybe when you're playing marbles or something, so then you're going to flatten out the ground. When you play soccer, I don't think anyone ever smoothens out the ground when they play soccer. What's that?
Maybe it's not smoothing.
Maybe it's
soccer.
Ripping
it out with cleats. Maybe it's a different
ball. Oh, okay. It's a separate issue. All right. It depends if you're playing with cleats or not. How serious you are.
If you're wearing sneakers, though.
Okay. Fine. Fine. So, Lemaisa, people don't. They go ahead and play pickup soccer games. No one ever smoothens out the ground. So maybe you could tie in a maybe. I don't know. You know, as in Shulchan Aruch, it says you can't roll balls along the floor. So maybe just that's it. It's usher. May know we don't low plug. You know, we don't in every situation check how likely it is that you're going to smooth out the floor, how not. But as a limud schus, maybe you can say that the gzera was only applied to, you know, in situations, in games and the like, activities where it's shaykh that sometimes people do smooth out the floor. So then we're not going to ask questions. How smooth is the floor already? Is it not smooth? We're not going to ask questions. It's usher. But if it's an activity that no one ever smoothens out the floor, so then maybe you could tie in the gzera never applied. So maybe as a limud schus, for those who do so, we can use that argument. But personally, the mice, I don't let my kids play soccer on Shabbos because of that reason. Yeah.
I was worried because it's more like the tearing out the grass issue.
Okay, tearing out the grass is a separate discussion. You know, no one intends to tear out the grass when they play. So then it'll depend if it's a psik resha, right? How likely is it that you're going to tear out grass? I think most of the time it's not a psik resha that you're going to tear out grass. Maybe if the grass is very long and you're wearing cleats or something.
You're playing with cleats.
Alright, so there's room to asser cleats. If you go to the park here, they pair with cleats also.
Sneakers, like,
oh, Israeli kids wearing cleats as like regular
shoes.
Shoes,
yeah. So, like, fair aura. That's a fair aura.
Really?
Yeah.
What do
they
even
say? Terps, not.
What's that? What does it mean? Mutav Shiyushogin Vayu Mezidin means it's better that they should be violating Surim accidentally, unwittingly, without knowing that they're violating an iser, rather than doing so purposefully. So when it comes to the question how, where exactly you apply this, but in situations where it's assumed that the people involved don't know that what they're doing is usir, and we are certain that they're not going to listen to us if we tell them it's usir, then don't bother telling them. That's the basic idea. Okay? So this was an interesting an interesting application of this isser here of Choresh. Again, it would only apply to games where you roll things along the floor. Lav dafka, any game where something hits the floor. It has to specifically do with rolling things along the floor. Okay, does anyone still play bocce?
Yeah, what?
I did.
Yeah, you play that?
Yeah.
So, they have courts, bocce courts. So obviously that would be a problem with this in Shabbos. I think that's more
punching. That's punching with a really heavy ball and it's on dirt floor.
So it makes a chritz?
What?
Oh, is that makes a thing? All right, so that's more punching than soccer, that's usher. That would be a problem on Shabbos. Okay. Okay. Right, if you don't know what it is, talk to Josh. Talk to Josh after this year.
The eyeball.
It's basically a ball, and you got to get all the balls near that ball.
So it's like a big version of marbles.
Yeah, more or less.
Kind of.
It's like
curling.
Okay. We're going to move on to the next malacha. Which is the malacha of Zoreya. Zoreya is our next malacha. What does Zoreya mean?
Planting.
Okay, so the Av Malacha, the Av Malacha of Zoreya is taking a seed and putting it in the ground. Okay, that's planting. We're taking anything. No, Bizman Azeh, most of the time people don't plant with seeds anymore, at least trees. So trees, also Noteya, that is also part of the Malacha, to take it and put it in the ground so that it'll grow. That would be a Malacha of Zoreya. There is a fascinating discussion amongst the Achronim in terms of exactly how to define this Malacha. Because Zoreya is something which is very, very unique in that the Maisa Malacha, which is, let's say, putting a seed into the ground, so that's a very particular action. But the result of that action occurs quite some time later. Right? You don't see anything actually growing for at least a couple of days. At least. In other words, after Shabbos. Right? Most of the time, you do Maisa Malacha, and you see the result. It happened. It's finished on Shabbos. Sometimes, here in this case, though, the result is much later. So, how do we understand that? Is the result related to the Maisa HaMalacha itself? Is it part of the Maisa? So, by way of example, the only thing that's a little bit similar is the Malacha of Bishul. Right? When you cook something, so the Maisa involved, the action involved, is taking food, which is raw, and putting it on the fire. That's your role in the Malacha. The truth is, though, that if you then take it off, then you did not really violate a Malacha at the end, because it didn't get cooked. Right? Even though you did a full-fledged Maisa Malacha, it didn't really happen, because the result is part of the Malacha. It has to get cooked. Even though it's not you that's cooking it, it's the fire that's cooking it. Right? So if you go ahead and put the food on the fire, and then you take it off, or someone else takes it off, so you definitely violated Issur D'Rabban by putting it on, and you violated another Issur D'Rabban probably by taking it off, depending on what you did. But you didn't violate a Malacha D'Oraisa. Right? Because the result is part of the Malacha itself. Or let's say you put the food on the fire with 2 minutes left to Shabbos, and it takes 5 minutes to start cooking. So you did not violate a Malacha. You violated Issur D'Rabban, but you did not violate a Malacha D'Oraisa. Because the totsah, the result, is part and parcel of the Malach itself. What about when it comes to Zoreya? Would you say the same thing? No, obviously not. Right? If you plant on Shabbos, but it doesn't start to grow until after Shabbos, so that's not a Malach. So then there's no such thing as a Malach of Zoreya. Yeah. So how do we understand it? So it's a fascinating machlokas here. The Rashash holds that there's a tenai to the Malacha, which actually takes place when Shabbos is over, which is that it starts growing. So the Malacha is planting on Shabbos in a way that will lead to growth. The growth doesn't happen until Tuesday. On Tuesday, we'll find out if you did a malacha on Shabbos. In theory, you could go ahead and put the seed in the ground on Shabbos, come back Sunday, take it out of the ground, and you saved yourself retroactively from a malacha deraisa, according to the Rashash.
You're still over a few derabbanon.
Yeah, you're okay, Vada, you're over derabbanon. But you're not chayiv skila, you're not chayiv kares. That's pretty good. I mean, it's better than being chayiv skila and chayiv kares, right? But it's a fascinating concept that there's a condition that needs to be fulfilled after Shabbos in order for you to have violated the malacha on Shabbos. Fascinating. Others disagree with this. For example, the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch holds, no. By definition, a malacha has to be entirely done on Shabbos. If there's something that happens after Shabbos that's necessary, that's not possible. So he says the definition of the malacha is a little different. The definition of the malacha is an act of planting that could lead to growth, even if it doesn't in the end. And according to the Minchas Chinuch, if you come back on Sunday and take the seed out of the ground, you didn't do anything. You didn't accomplish anything. You still violated a malacha d'oraisa. Okay? The Eglei Tal, so another one of the great Achronim, Hilchos Shabbos, says you can violate it one of two ways. If you do an act of planting that actually leads to growth, or you do an act of planting with the intention that it leads to growth, even if it doesn't lead to growth in the end. Okay, that's his two ways. Anyway, fascinating discussion I just mentioned amongst the Achronim, exactly the precise definition of the Malacha of Zareah. Okay, so far so good? Okay. So as we said, the Av Malacha is the act of planting itself. This would include various things that sometimes people do in their houses. You know, people sometimes take, just for example, an avocado pit, they put it in water or something, it starts to grow. Right? Lima bean, you ever did a lima bean experiment in elementary school or something, put it in a little cup of soil and then it grows and you feel great, hey, you planted a lima bean. So obviously these would be malachas of Zareah and Shabbos. More generally speaking, anything that you do that stimulates the growth of a plant is included in this malacha. So, for example, yes?
What about the opposite? Like, people sometimes take things and put them in Coke and, like, dissolve. Would that be okay?
Putting something in Coke to dissolve it?
Saying, like, instead of growing, you're dissolving it. Like, the complete opposite.
No. Okay, that's not one of the malachas. That's definitely not one of the malachas.
Right. So
okay, it depends. I think it depends. Give me a specific case. What are you putting in?
A tooth in Coke.
Uh-huh.
It's like, it doesn't decay right then, but eventually... Like
to watch it decay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little scary. You put a tooth into Coke and see what happens.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not aware. That's certainly not a malacha. I'm not exactly aware what the Isser would be there. I don't know. I'm not aware what the Isser would be. Okay. But here's the most common example of what people do, which would be a malach of Zareah, which is watering. Watering plants on Shabbos would be a malach of Zareah. Okay? It would be a tolda. A tolda of the malach of Zareah.
So is it anything that facilitates plant growth?
Yeah. An action that facilitates growth of stuff that's growing. Okay, thank you for asking that question in such a manner. But yes, you are, because that does not stimulate growth. It's not good for the plants. It's not good for the plants. Urine is not good for plants. On the other hand, for one to relieve himself in what we call in halacha gedolin, as opposed to ketanin, so to defecate, so that is good for plants. So then to do so on plants should be avoided.
What about walking your dog?
Okay, what places where you could. What's that?
You're walking your dog to let it go to the bathroom outside.
Why do you have a dog?
Okay. Okay. We're not discussing the issue of dog ownership right now, but you're going to need to clean up after your dog, okay? Cats?
It's a whole issue to touch your dog.
Clean up after your dog.
I let my dog out in the backyard and...
Yeah.
Okay, it's okay. You're not responsible. Your dog is not chayav in Hilchos Shabbos. Your dog is not chayav on Shabbos. It's okay. You're not allowed to directly cause your animal to do malacha on Shabbos. Okay? So, for example, to lead it outside while it's carrying something where there's no eruv, one second, that would be a problem. But to go ahead and to let it do its own thing, so you're allowed to let it do its own thing. it's not chayav in Hilchos Shabbos.
Yeah, but like, for example, in our chicken coop, we have a water thing that hangs, and they drink from it with all, like, knock, the water will spill out when they knock it.
Okay, chickens also not chayav in Hilchos Shabbos, just like dogs.
But that's setting them up.
No, it's okay, it's alright, it's alright. You cannot actively cause your animal to do malach on Shabbos. That's what we learn from the Aseres HaDibros. It says, Ato bincha uvemtecha. Right, bemtecha also. But you don't have to, you know, like, put your animals in a straitjacket or something. They could just do their own thing, even if that ends up involving malacha. Because they are themselves in achayiv in Hilchos Shabbos. Okay, you don't have to prevent them from doing malacha, you just can't cause them to do malacha. That's the basic yisod here.
I assume, like, you can't put, like, a treat above the light switch to get it to jump up and pause it.
Okay, right. To get your animals to turn on and off lights, that would be a problem. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
What's a head to touch a dog on Shabbos?
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. It
doesn't seem like it.
We'll discuss it. When we talk about Hilchos Muktzah, can you all wait till Hilchos Muktzah to talk about dogs? Or do you discuss it now? What's that?
Can we just leave when we talk about that?
Let's talk about
You can if you want to. Yeah, sure. Sure. I'm a little more, you know, they're really post-game on both sides of the equation. So you don't have to leave. It's okay. It's okay. I'll tell you about the Mekilim. I'll tell you about the Mekilim also. Okay, in any event, watering plants, whether they're household plants in your house, to go out and to water your plants, even that's us there. To water plants outside, of course that would be awesome.
Electronic irrigation systems that are set on a timer.
Oh, okay, right. So what about if it's set on a timer?
Timer's a whole question. Though.
So timers are a separate issue in general in halacha, right? But what's that?
The guy on the wall.
The guy on the wall? You call him, it's not a guy. Okay, Rav Moshe Feinstein.
Sonic on the wall.
Rav Moshe Feinstein was very upset about the use of timers, Shabbos clocks. He was matir bekoshi, he was matir for lights. But that's it. But it's Lanius Daiti, it seems that the accepted minhag is not like Rav Moshe in this area.
I know, but he's really mad at
the Yeah. So look, I would say in any event, an automatic irrigation system is permitted. Okay, you're allowed to have, obviously you said it before Shabbos. You're allowed to do it. So depends on the system. I think that's probably... Look, the truth of the matter is, if you don't need to go ahead and have it on every single day, so then you may as well have it not go on Shabbos. Right? Especially if there's going to be... Yeah, but Bizman Azeh, I don't think it's really Marzayin. Especially if it's not Nikar. You know, there's different types of things. Some things, like you have the sprinklers, they're going all over the place, and etc. And it's very noticeable. Some things, it's just a drip line. You know, so no one even notices that it's on.
It's also, I don't think it would be Mars iron in the case, like, where it's so widespread, like you said, for people to have sprinklers, so...
Yeah, but as much as that, Kimon, nobody actually turns on their own sprinkler.
You don't need to think they're turning on their own irrigation system, like, it just...
They don't turn on their own sprinklers. There's less houses, but, like, all my neighbors use, like, their personal... They have, like, personal sprinklers where they plug into their hose into, like, a thing, and it's spray. I'm the only person on my block that has an electronic sprinkler.
Okay.
So,
all right. So if you, I think that it, okay, maybe it's totally on time and place. Enochanami, where do you live again? Maybe in West Hempstead.
They're not Jewish, like one of them is like a plumber. Actually, I think they're both plumbers. Like they don't use like.
Mm. They're plumbers, but they haven't yet managed to set up a system for themselves. Okay, so it depends. Enochanami, if you have a Marisayan problem, so then it should definitely be avoided. It should definitely be avoided. Okay. Here's an interesting ha'ara. I forget where I saw this, but here's an interesting ha'ara. What about turning off the sprinkler? Let's say you left it on from before Shabbos. What about, can you turn it off? So certainly, turning it off shouldn't be a problem, right? You're just depriving the grass of water. That shouldn't be a problem. But he pointed out in one of these farm, that if when you turn it off, so it first gets weaker, and because of that, it hits spots that it wasn't hitting otherwise.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
So then, really, you're just watering now new spots. That as you turn it off, you're watering new spots.
But it's watering that
anyway. So that's a problem. If it anyway is watering those spots, then fine. If
it's
not,
weaker,
not.
But it's those spots.
It's weaker, so it's going to hit.
So it'll depend on the circumstance.
Trajectory.
It'll depend on the circumstance. Okay, here's an interesting circumstance as follows. To go ahead, a couple of exceptions to the issue of putting water on growing things. Okay, so first of all, if the ground is already super saturated anyway, so then watering it doesn't accomplish anything, doesn't stimulate growth. You know, watering it is not in and of itself the issur. The issur is stimulating the growth of the plants. So let's say there was a big rain, the ground is super saturated. So if you're going to pour more water there, that's not going to accomplish anything. So for example, let's say Sukkis.
Yeah, it happened to me.
It happens to the Jacobsons. That they, let's say it rains on Sukkah, so you put a cover over your Sukkah. And now it stops raining, you take off the cover. When you take off the cover, the rain, the water that's on the cover falls off to the sides onto your lawn. Or onto some area where stuff is growing or could be growing. So if it's right after the rain and the ground is so saturated anyway, so that actually is not a problem.
You're not causing it to stay be wet longer?
No.
It's brought down la halacha that this is not a problem. Okay.
What about snow, like melting snow?
Yeah. What about it?
Moving snow, because it could be like causing it to melt and.
So what's your question? Putting water on snow.
Putting water on snow.
It definitely has nothing to do with zoreya. That's for sure not.
What about salt?
That has to do with changing the form of the snow. Now you're going to go ahead and cause it to melt. All right, that's a separate discussion. We'll have to have a separate discussion about snow in general.
Well, like salt.
Right, okay, good. We'll talk about it. Okay, but we're one thing at a time. Here's another one. Let's say you move water to a certain place, but then after that, it eventually flows onto a place where stuff is growing. So we have the following concept. It's considered to be your action if it comes what's called Bekoach Rishon, or Koach Gavra. Right? If the force of your action directs it onto the grass, onto the dirt, so then that's a problem. There's something else called Koach Sheni, okay, which is where, or Koach Kocho, which means you push it somewhere, and the force of your action doesn't take it all the way to the grass, let's say. It takes it outside, but then it sort of puddles outside, and then due to the plane of the floor, right, it may continue flowing downhill, and not as a direct result of your force of your action, and eventually reach an area which would be a problem to put water. So that's considered to be mutter on Shabbos. So just as an example, a personal maisa shahaya, you know, things come up with little kids. So one time, one of our children was probably around 3 years old at the time. He figured out on Shabbos that he could climb into the bathtub and turn on the there's like a showerhead thingy, and that was like a great realization for him that he could do that. So this was like the funnest thing in the world. So he did this, and we discovered him a minute or two later. By that time, of course, not only was he sopping wet, but it was like 2 inches of water in the bathroom. So he was like in heaven, you know. But so obviously we turned off the water. So then, what do we do with all that water? So I don't know if you guys know how my the entrance to my house works. So anyway, we squeegeed it out. We squeegeed it out from the house, from the bathroom to the front door, and out of the front door. Now, a few feet away from the front door, we have an entrance to the garden there, and there's grass. So to go ahead and squeegee, usually if we squeegee water out of the house, I'll take it and squeegee it directly into that area. So that would be called gavra. That would be a problem to do that on Shabbos. But instead, so we just squeegeed it out of the house and left it there. And there was a puddle by our front door. And it's a little bit of an incline, a slight incline. So over the course of, a couple of minutes, it flows down and gets to that area. So that's called Koach Sheni. That's called Koach Kocho. That's permitted. So that's what we did. We more or less dried out the house and tried to impress upon him that this was not an amazing idea. So he has not done it since. Off
and
merpeset.
Because you're pushing it off, it's going to fall and then go somewhere.
Okay, so Erechanami. So post can discuss the following. This happens in camps sometimes. Let's say you have a sink system, and it's a very very impressive system, usually in these camps. It drains from the sink to a pipe, and then the pipe lets it off like 10 feet away onto the ground. That's what happens. So what about that? It's going to travel indirectly, right? But it's going to eventually end up on the ground, and that could water. That's called watering the ground. So it is a psigresha on the one hand. On the other hand, it's considered to be koch kocho, as we said. It's koch kocho. So psigresha is only a problem when it's your direct action. This is not considered to be your direct action.
For what?
And you don't intend, you don't really care about the fact that it gets... It's one thing if you're trying to do it that way. Right? It's another thing if you don't really care that it gets there and it's indirect like that. So lemaisa, the poskim... Matir it.
So if you're trying to wash out of the sink with a cup, so you can be make one say it's called gavra, but
if you want,
if you're trying to wash out of that sink without a cup, so you're going to be make one say that it's called gavra, but if you're trying to use it on trials,
I'm not so sure that we'll make one hilchos netilos yadayim. But if we are mako, it's because it's not possible to be mako like that. It's because the water that's coming out of the faucet comes out immediately when you go ahead and do that. When you go ahead and open the faucet.
Right.
When you go ahead and wash into the sink, so then it's not immediate that it goes in. It first travels down a pipe. Right? So that's different. That's less direct than the water that comes out of the faucet. Okay, so there is room to be makel in that kind of a situation. If it goes directly on, and certainly if that's your intention, so then that, in fact, would be a problem. Okay? So far, so good? Okay, we already mentioned that when it comes to zareh and watering, so then you can have one of the certainly one of the classic examples of psigresha, which is to go ahead and to directly pour over grass. Like let's say you want to wash the tilos yadayim and you're outside, so you go ahead and wash onto the grass. That's a that is a psigresha when it comes to watering the plants, and that would be a problem. Similarly, here in Eretz Yisrael, related to this issue, you go to the playgrounds. A lot of times they have water fountains, so there is no. There is no drainage system in the water fountains at all. It just goes off the water fountain onto the ground. That's the drainage system. So it'll depend. If it goes directly, a lot of them are pretty direct. So if it's actually a water fountain actually still works, so then I think that would be probably problematic on Shabbos. If it doesn't go directly, it first flows down onto a part of the fountain and then it goes... Or maybe it's a paved area, and then eventually it flows to a place which is not paved. So then that would be permitted. That would be the koch kocho. Okay. So this is something which is certainly very practical. Bizman is that. Okay. Comments, questions. Another issue. All right. Just to see something here in the Shulchan Aruch. Shin lamed vav siv dalet. Shin lamed vav.
Anything other than watering?
Yeah, we'll see something right here, which is obviously very direct. Okay, by the way, what I just mentioned about washing your hands over grass, that's right here in Shin Lamed Vav, Siv Gimel. Siv Gimel, well, we're not going to read Siv Gimel, but that's what we're just discussing, about washing your hands over the grass, and Josh's question about relieving oneself, that's right here in Siv Gimel as well. Siv Dalid, so Siv Dalid. Avi, Avram Dov.
Ish lazar mil milahash shlich lazar mamakom yudas b'shamim b'sofam mahatat smiach v'im yashlich le sarim le golim lo yashlich al kasher she yochlu bo b'yom ol yomam
liyomayim
liyomayim v'im b'mkom drisas.
Okay, so you cannot throw seeds to a place where it could, where it's likely to grow. So a person's outside, he's eating something with seeds, with pits, whatever it is, and he throws it down outside into a place where stuff grows, so then that would be a problem. What if you're feeding your chickens? So Avi, this could be halacha for you, I don't know. So if you're throwing seeds in front of them in a place where there's dirt and it could grow, it's going to grow, so you only throw the amount that they're actually likely to eat within the next day or two before it would actually take root. Okay, this would be another example of the Malach of Zareya. Furthermore, you can have some interesting cases. Again, anything which stimulates growth. So, for example, pruning a tree or a bush. So, it's a fascinating case because the Maisa feels like, looks like, sounds like, and maybe is, we'll see, a Malach of Kotzer. You're cutting something off the tree. But it actually does stimulate growth. When you prune it, it stimulates growth. So it is a malach of Zareya. It may also be a malach of Kotzer. It depends on your intention, and it depends on various other things. Yeah?
What about a shell of a sunflower seed?
So, right. So, a shell, I don't think that a shell of a sunflower seed can grow into anything.
No, but it can, it'll, what's it called?
Decompose.
It'll decompose to fertilize.
Is that right? It fertilizes?
In a year.
It actually fertilizes things?
That much salt, it can't fertilize anything.
I'm surprised if it will. It depends on the metzias. I admit to you that I don't know the metzias on these things. It definitely will not sprout, so it's definitely not a problem with Zoreya. If it will be fertilizer, so then you could talk about that it could be a problem, but I'm not convinced that really is fertilizing anything. Okay? But I think that it's not nice to throw your shells on the ground. I think you should throw them in the garbage. Okay? Just because of cleanliness. Why should you make a mess for everybody else? Not nice. Not nice. What's that?
It's the opposite. It's biodegradable.
It's very mikubal, but it looks gross. It looks disgusting. It depends where you are. It's very mikubal that people just throw their seeds all over the place, including in places where they're not going to decompose. So then you're good in terms of Hichlo Shabbos, but it's not nice in terms of Hichlo Benon L'Chaveiro. So I don't think that's a nice thing. Okay. Further discussion. What about when it comes to... Oh, here's an interesting one. Oh boy. So like this, we said that anything you do to stimulate growth is a problem. That would include anything that's growing outside or inside for that matter as well. So let's say that you have plants and you want to open the shade to give them sun because it's good for the plants. You want to open the windows to give them air so that they can, so it's good for the plants. So this would be a problem on Shabbos. Yeah. Okay, so the Poskim discussed the following situation. Okay, but let's say I have plants in my house and I want to open the shade because I want light. I want to open the window because I need air. So maybe that's usser. If you have a good, if you have plants in your house, you should never be able to open the windows in Shabbos or the shades. That would be unpleasant. So what do you say about this? Well, it's psigresha. Why is it debatable? It's not debatable. If you're giving yourself light, you're also giving the plants light. So the poskim say as follows. There's a Frank has a tshuva about this and others as well. Here's where you're going to go ahead and combine a few factors together. They say like this, that first of all, that's not your intention. Your intention is not to give them unless it is your intention, in which case it's awesome. But your intention is not to stimulate growth in the plants. It's a psikresh. Okay, so this is a psikresha. It's a psikresha. But which is not you. This is not what you're really intending. Okay, we can even call it. They even call it a. Hold on 1 second. In any event, so that's one step removed. It's still lesser, but psikresha is still lesser, certainly. But it's one step removed. Then they point out as follows. That the manner in which you are stimulating the growth is indirect. It's what we call grumma. It's grumma. When you take water and you put it on the plant, that's direct. When you go ahead and you remove a barrier, that's called indirect. You're not taking the light and shining it on the plant. You're not taking the air and throwing it onto the plant. You're just removing something that was stopping the light or the air from naturally going onto the plant. So that's called indirect causation. Now again, you're not allowed to just do malachas anytime you want through indirect causation. Grumma. You can't just do grumma. But if you're awesome, but if you're already combining, it's a psig ratio and it's grumma. So there's a break in terms of the kavana. It's not your kavana to stimulate growth. And there's a break in terms of the maisa, because you're not directly doing it. You put them together. So then there's room to be makel. So la maisa, if you have plants in your house, you're not allowed to open the window or the shade in order to stimulate growth of the plant. However, if you feel that you need light or you need air and your intention is not to stimulate the growth of the plants per se, then the posting do allow you, Baruch Hashem, to open the windows, open the shade on Shabbos. When it comes to flowers, what about flowers in a vase on Shabbos? So these items are no longer connected to their regular place of growth. So it's not going to be a full-fledged malacha of Zareya, certainly. Nonetheless, if there are still flowers that are opening up, so it looks like regular growth, so there is a problem midrabbanon to go ahead and to put them in water or to add water on Shabbos, and that would be a problem.
Whatever we prohibit because we worry that a person might look like they're doing malacha, they're doing both in private and public.
Thank you. If it's the type of thing that's not going to open or grow in some way, so you have to know what you're dealing with. So then,
why can't you add water?
Well, what would be the purpose of adding water?
Because if it's freshly cut flowers, then they can still be, they're not still growing, but you can keep them alive for longer if you add more water to it.
Is that
true?
Yeah.
In any event, you're not allowed to add water to Mefurish on Yontiv. You're allowed to add on Shabbos not. Okay, sounds like it's... anyway, that's the halacha. You'd be allowed to take them out in theory, but you're not allowed to put them in. If you took them out of the water, they were already in water, and you took them out of the water, so then there is room to put them back in the water as long as nothing is continuing to grow or to open. There's a discussion in some of the poskim, and maybe the issue of putting them into water to begin with is an issue of tircha, in which case, if they're already ready to go, ready to just be put in, and the water is already there, to just put them in is not really much of a tircha, so maybe there would be perhaps room to allow that as well. That's discussed in the Sefer Orchos Shabbos, Yudches, Ayin Shom. Okay, we'll pause here. Have a wonderful rest of the day.